you for keeping us safe during that storm. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we also thank you for keeping us safe from storms that we don't even see, Lord. God, I want to take a minute to acknowledge your goodness and your kindness. I thank you for traveling mercies. I thank you for allowing us to get to work and get back home again safe. Lord, it's you and you alone that orchestrate everything. You are amazing, Father. You're good. You're better than we give you credit, Lord. And today I pray that you will open up our hearts to receive a word from you. I pray that you speak to us in such a way that we are forever changed, that we are forever encouraged by you. Today, Lord, I pray that you will show us our value. Today, I pray that you will show us how important we are to you, how much you love us, how much you have called us into your fold, Lord. Today, Lord, I pray that you will continue to speak to each one of us individually and collectively. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the way to the Father. And we pray these things by faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 12, verse 1. Is a really, really familiar story. So let's see, today is July 31st. So in about another hour and 15 minutes, my aunt, her name's Brenda, I definitely appreciate your prayer, goes back for open heart surgery. And she was supposed to have it early Monday morning, but then the doctors called. And apparently some of the team that was, it's a large team that's going to help take care of her. Apparently some of the doctors and staff had COVID, and then it could have been yesterday. And then now it's supposed to be today. And, you know, it was definitely disappointed. You know, you get worked up and you say, God, let your will be done. And you still get a little nervous or anxious when things don't go the way that you think that they should go. I was supposed to be able to, my family allows me to play golf, praise the Lord. But I was supposed to have a match against three of my friends that I have. One of them lives out of town, and we orchestrated this whole match. But we're not going to be able to do it at the country club today because of the storm yesterday. And after the storm, I was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to get to play. And I said, God, whatever your will is. But then today when I found out they closed it down, I was frustrated. I was disappointed. And I began to talk to the Lord about when I say, God, whatever your will is. If I truly meant, God, whatever your will is, then I shouldn't have been disappointed. I shouldn't have been frustrated. What I was ultimately saying is, okay, God, I want your will to be done as long as it benefits me in the way that I want it to. I was saying, God, I want it to be your way as long as I'm protected and my family and my friends and my loved ones, but I need you to do it this way and that way and make sure this happens and make sure we're still allowed to play golf at this time, make sure that I have the enjoyment, make sure this, even though maybe there's a greater reason. You see, brothers and sisters, today I want you to know that I believe one of the greatest lies of the enemy, one of the greatest things that the enemy takes away from you and me is our value. He convinces us that we're not as important as God says that we are. A lot of times I'll talk to Joshua, our 10-year-old, and I'll say, Joshua, God has called you to do this, and you have the gift of healing in your hands. And the first thing he says back to me is, not me, Dad. Dad, no, not me. I can't do that. Why? Because he thinks, and thank God it's the change or the thought process is changing, but he thinks maybe I'm not important enough, Dad. I'm not like the people in the Bible. I'm not that strong. I'm not an adult yet. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know God will put some kids in your life. He'll put some young people, some young adults in your life that will completely show you the love of God, that will completely show you the power of the Lord, that will teach you that maybe our way is not the best way. So you have this story in John chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, yours may say ointment, but and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. In other words, he would steal from the money box. Verse 7, and this is where I'll focus on. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Another version says, in verse 7, Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me with you." Another version says, "Let her keep it, for you will not have the poor with you. You always have the poor with you, but me you will not." So many times I've read this scripture, and I thought when she came in and she began to anoint the feet of Jesus and she began to worship him, that and she used this very, very costly ointment. Some versions will read that it was worth 300 denarii. I've heard that valued at anywhere between $13,000 and $17,500 in today's money. So no doubt it was a very, very costly ointment. And Jesus, when he says back to him, "Let her keep it, for she has saved this for the day of my burial." Well, I've always thought that when she anointed him and she did these things, that she used all of this oil on him that day. She used all of this, ointment on him that day. But now when I read through the story and then I read through when after Jesus' death, I realize that she had some left over. I realized she didn't use everything that she had that day. She had some left over for later on. But what I find so interesting is that Judas Iscariot was the one to put a value on the ointment. You see, brothers and sisters, today I believe that why do we allow the enemy to put a value on us? It wasn't John. And it wasn't Luke, and it wasn't Peter, and it wasn't one of the other disciples that said, "Hey, this ointment was worth 300 denarii." No, it was Judas Iscariot, who Jesus said was the devil. You see, I believe it was the enemy that was placing value on something that I believe that was more valuable than anybody realized. You see, the enemy will tell you that you'll never be this, or you're not this, or you've done too much, or you've gone too far, or you've been married too many times to preach, or you've lied too many times to teach Sunday school or to lead a life group, or somebody or the enemy will convince you and confuse you that you've gone too far to be saved by the grace of God. You see, it was Judas Iscariot that placed the value on the ointment. And because the enemy tries to place value on you and me, then sometimes we get confused. Especially with the kids nowadays. How many people know that most kids, a lot of kids, are more concerned about how many likes or swipe ups or swipe downs or swipe lefts or swipe rights that they get more than they are about how God looks at them? How many people know today that these young people are using these filters and going through all kinds of eating disorders? Why? Because they see something portrayed that they think is beautiful, they think is desiring. The enemy is trying to convince us that this is a picture of perfection. This is the picture of being something in today's society. This is the picture of success. But brothers and sisters, today I want you to know that if you and I will accept the love of God and allow that to invade the very core of us, then that is the picture of success. My dad says, "I don't care anything about being rich, Alan. What I consider being rich is being able to pay my bills and not have to worry about anything." You see, my dad has a different perspective of being wealthy. My dad has a different picture of what it looks like to be successful. Me, sometimes I think it's I need to have this and go here and be able to do this to be successful. But this woman that had a very, very costly jar of ointment that no doubt had worked hard for it, no doubt had sacrificed for it, no doubt had been willing to give up some things in order to have this, so freely gave it to the Lord. And the Lord, I believe, allowed her to have something left over. Brothers and sisters, today, I want you to know that if you'll worship God with your finances, there'll always be something left over. If you'll make a commitment to God to pay your tithes and offerings, there'll always be something left over. You see, this woman was very, very willing to give it all. She was very, very willing to worship Jesus at the exact time he was right there in front of her. She knew, she and my opinion was a picture of success. She knew to worship while Jesus was near. She knew to give it all while Jesus was near because she knew that being close to him was worth it all. Today, a lot of us suffer from anxiety or depression or we're worried with the economy. We're worried what our 401k is doing or is not doing. We're worried about what our investments are doing or not doing. And I want you to know, and I'm included in that. I'll look at investments or I'll look at the stock market and see what it's doing. And I'm probably the quickest one to make a comment about certain political parties or who's president or who's not or vice president or whatever. I'm there with you. And every time I do it, every time I get disappointed or I get scared or I get nervous, I thank God that he's right there reminded me that he has never left nor forsaken me. And when the enemy placed a value on this ointment, when Judas Iscariot said, listen, this stuff is worth 300 denarii. In other words, this is a lot of money that's been wasted. Jesus's response back to him is leave her alone. Jesus's response back to her is leave her alone because she's going to have some left over. What I absolutely love about the story, what I love about the story is immediately Jesus responds to the enemy. You see, the woman didn't have, Mary didn't have to defend herself. Mary didn't have to speak up for herself and say, oh, don't call me this or don't say I wasted or whatever it may be. Mary just had to worship. Brothers and sisters, if you and me will say, okay, I don't need to worry about my anxiety or my depression or me not valuing myself. I just got to get into the presence of God and allow him to be the one to knock down the enemy. You see, some of us are so busy rebuking the enemy that we forget to talk to God. And I'm there with you. I'll rebuke the enemy and I'll speak against what the enemy's trying to do to my family or my friends or my loved ones or other people. But more times than not, I've found that if I'll get into the presence of God and just tell him how good he is and just acknowledge everything that he's done for me and just acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, then I don't hear the attacks of the enemy. You see, the reason I believe a lot of us hear the voice of the accuser so clearly is because we don't hear the voice of God so clearly. You see, it's hard for the voice of the enemy to come in and invade our area or to invade our thought process if we're busy worshiping God. You see, if Alex is on one end of the house and I'm on the other, and if, this is a big if I was ignorant enough to say, Alex, you're a butthead, or Alex, you stole $10 out of my drawer, if she doesn't hear me, then she has no idea of what I'm accusing her of. It to her could be like I never said it. To her, it holds no power. To her, it holds no authority. Why? Because we're not in the same vicinity. We're not in the same area. And this woman, as she was worshiping Jesus, as she was giving him a very costly gift and an act of worship, I'm not for sure she heard Judas Iscariot. Brothers and sisters, in closing today, I'm not sure that she heard the man accusing her of wasting it. Brothers and sisters, I'm not sure this woman in an act of beautiful worship, in an act of beautiful surrendering, an act of beautiful love for the Savior, I'm not sure she heard the accusation. The Bible never says that she was concerned or scared or worried, or she wondered if Jesus thought that she made a bad choice. She never responded back to the enemy. Why? Because she was so focused on the one who has eyes that look like fire, who has hair that's as white as wool. She was so focused on the Son of God that I don't believe she heard the accusations. It didn't move her. It didn't scare her. It didn't worry her. She wasn't anxious about the situation. She knew who was standing in front of her. And my question today is, do we know who we serve? Do we really understand how good He is? Do we really understand that He has our best interest at heart? So when I get disappointed that I don't get to play golf at a certain event, or I don't get to do this because I pray, God, Your will be done, not my will, why am I disappointed? Why am I scared? Why am I worried? It's because I thought my way was better than His way. But brothers and sisters, today I can testify that not one time has God led me astray. Not one time has God let me down. Not one time has He disappointed me. That's why I can say today, while my aunt's about to go into open heart surgery, that all is well. That's why I can say today, in the middle of a storm that was really, really bad yesterday, that all is well. Why? Because we serve the Creator of the universe. You and I serve the one that made the mountains in the position that they are today, that hung the stars and moon and told that sun to be in the exact position that it's in right now. You and I serve the Master. And brothers and sisters, today I want us to be like this lady, Mary, that's serving Jesus, that's worshiping Him, that's so infatuated with Him that she doesn't hear the accuser. She's not anxious. She's not depressed. She's not worried. She's just a worshiper. The Bible says that those that serve God should worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe that when we do those things, then certain things fall off of us. You see, there can't be light and darkness in the same area. You can go to the darkest room on planet Earth and you can take a flashlight that has very, very dead batteries or almost dead batteries, and you turn it on and that little bit of light will invade the darkness. We just need, I'm telling you, you just need a little bit of faith to shine in your situation. You need a little bit of faith to hold on to and allow God to make the room brighter. You just got to turn it on. You just got to give. You just got to be willing to worship. I have to be willing to say, God, not my will, but Your will, and trust it every time. Is it okay to be disappointed? Absolutely. Is it okay to be let down? Absolutely. But God, Your way is better than my way. And I don't know the future like You do, God. God shares secrets with us. God shows us a little bit of the things to come. But His way is truly the best way. My last thing is, stop allowing the enemy to tell you your value. I don't believe Judas Iscariot knew how much that worship was worth. I believe that if him and Mary could have had a conversation and he said, listen, but this was worth 300 denarii, I guarantee you her response back to him would have been, but this is Jesus. This is the Savior of the world. This is Emmanuel. You see, every week of my life, I get the privilege to sit in my bedroom and sit on a chair and talk to my wife about what God's telling me. And I cry a lot. I have no idea why I cry so much, but I just do. But I get in there and I get to cry and I get to share with her some of the things that God's telling me and showing me. And in those moments of worship, in those moments of vulnerability, that's when I know my value. That's when I know that there's not a car or a business or a house or an amount of money that's worth anything more than that. And today I want you to know that's available to you. The enemy doesn't have the right to tell you your value because he didn't create you. If you want to know your value, you have to look at the Creator. You have to say, God, You show me Your value. And I can give you one of the answers, and it's the greatest answer ever. Because the Bible tells us that he that knew no sin, he that knew no sin became sin so that you and I may be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he was perfect. He had it going on. He didn't need to come down here. He didn't have to come down here, but he chose to come down here. He chose to blow this whole thing up from the inside out, and he chose to make a path so that you and me could be forever with him in glory. That's your value. He's called you the head and not the tail. That's your value. He said that you're blessed above and not beneath. That is your value. He's called you more than a conqueror. That's the value. He said the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is absolutely the same spirit that will quicken our mortal body. That is your value. You are loved, redeemed, and forgiven by the Son of God. And God the Father chose to send him into this earth so that you and I could be with him forever. That's our value. You. Father, let's pray. Father, I honor you. I thank you today, God, that your value system is way better than anything I've ever seen. I thank you that you're better than I know sometimes, God. And today we say hallelujah to you. We worship you. We praise you. God, I pray that you will give us an attitude. God, give us an attitude that we can worship you no matter the cost. We can worship you and not hear the accusations of the enemy. We can go after you with everything that we have, and that's enough, God. Lord, I pray that you will give us a spirit like Mary, that we can go before you and put it all on the line and be okay with that, Lord, whatever your will is, whatever your way is, not to have disappointment or worry or anxiety. God, we lay it to you and you alone because you created us, because your way is better. And Lord, when we get disappointed, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the spirit of righteousness. I thank you for the spirit of overcoming. God, I thank you for making it all possible. So today, Lord, we say thank you and we say yes to your worship, yes to your love, yes to your forgiveness. And God, more than anything else, yes to your Son. We pray these things by faith, believing you are exactly who you say. In Jesus' name, amen.